By now, you've probably heard terms such as the Great Reset, you'll own nothing, you'll be happy. You might have also heard about 15-minute cities, and you may have also heard the expression being boiled like a frog. And of course, in that analogy, the frog cannot jump out because it's too late and it's already boiled. So are these things actually happening today? Well, I'm going to show you some evidence that it's probably happening in major cities around the world. I'm going to particularly focus on New York, but the statistics are relatively the same no matter which major city you go to. You may remember also that we just came out of something called a pandemic, in which people were ordered to stay in their homes and were not permitted to go to work. We had to separate and everything else. But what was the effect on major cities? Well, of course, almost everyone who was able to keep working had to do what they called telecommuting at the time. In other words, you sat at home and you did your office work via Zoom or just through the internet. Well, what was the effect of that? In places like Manhattan, which happens to be the financial hub of North America and much of the world, some of the office spaces are up to about 44% vacancy in 2024. In other words, almost half of the offices are empty. What does that do to the real estate price? Well, of course, it tanks it. Real estate is supply and demand. If there's no demand, the price goes down. But thankfully, Mayor Adams of New York City has a plan, and he's already identified later in this article that I'm showing on the screen, downtown's Manhattan's office market can't catch a break. Well, they're planning on repurposing many of these office buildings into residential. Makes sense. There's a housing crisis with all kinds of immigrants. And Mayor Adams has already identified 46 large office buildings that he plans to convert into residential things. But you might be thinking, what does that have to do with me? Well, hold on. Perhaps you'll recognize some of these headlines that have come out. And by the way, stay to the end because I think it's a little bit of a surprise ending for you. Here's Fox News reporting just about a week ago with Dr. Ben Carson, who is the former housing minister in the Trump administration.
We're reporting these stories all over the country, Dr. Carson, and there has to be a solution. And you can't let squatters have more rights than people who spend a couple million dollars on a nice brand new house that they want to move and send a kid into, but they can't.
Well, you know, we've kind of lost our mind. I was in Europe last fall, and I was asking some of the Europeans what do they think about us, and they said, you've lost your mind. Squatters' rights, you gotta be kidding me. Squatters don't have any rights. They have no right to be in your house. What are they going to have next, trespassers' rights? It makes no sense whatsoever. And also, bringing back law and order. We have to enforce the law. We have to protect the law-abiding citizens. If you're not going to protect the law-abiding citizens, why should they be law-abiding citizens? You're encouraging mass chaos and anarchy. And it seems to me like somebody might be actually trying to do that, because the United States is very strong militarily, but we can certainly be destroyed from within.
Now, I want you to hold on to those words that Ben Carson said. What do you mean squatters have no rights? That would be inviting anarchy. And in fact, it sounds like they may be purposefully doing that. Now, just stepping away from New York City for a moment, but I can assure you that this is happening across New York City and many others. But I found this particular news story from Pittsburgh, another major U.S. city. And let's just listen to this for a moment.
Rick, what was the big takeaway today?
Yeah, Susan, residents of the city will see a major change
change in the way police respond. They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in-progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency. Also, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers at any of the six stations throughout the city. Call boxes that link directly to 911 have been installed for people to use in case of an emergency. And during the overnight shift, there will be as few as 20 officers to cover the entire city. The chief said today the data supports that.
Yes, it's enough to cover the entire city in those hours when we have 8% of the time people are calling. I'm confident in the decisions that we make that it impacts this bureau and the city in a much better way than we have in the past.
Now, the chief also acknowledging today that some of these changes are due to staffing shortages. He's down to 740 officers, well below the 850 they would like to have. Now, coming up new at 5, residents, city council, and the police union all weighing in on these big changes that begin Monday. Live in the...
So in a major city like Pittsburgh, the police will no longer respond to any non-emergency calls. And when they are willing to, I guess if you meet the criteria as an emergency, they will only have 20 officers for the entire city of Pittsburgh on the overnight shift. And when you want to report a crime, you'll go find a telephone box on a pole somewhere near you in your city, and they will take an electronic report. Do you think that they'll investigate if your house was robbed? Do you feel safer now? In a related story, as far as policing goes, Toronto, another major city of about 3 million people, kind of like a small New York, they've made some changes, and here's an announcement from the police in Toronto.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns. They're real guns. They're loaded.
That's why Galinsky says they will be installing the door stops and taking YPR's advice seriously. But she'd like more action from police as well. There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting.
Oh, sorry. It started to loop. There's a couple interesting things about this clip. First of all, it says a message to homeowners who keep their key fobs in Faraday bags. A Faraday bag is a protection against an EMP strike. So they're saying don't put it in an EMP bag. I just found that interesting that they would include that word. But they're saying to leave your key inside your front door so when the criminal just busts in your front door, they can just grab your car keys. And they'll leave you alone, of course, because they're good guys. But the police also said that they might be armed. Now, if you're not familiar with Canadian law, if someone breaks into your house in Canada, you are not allowed to defend yourself with force. You're not allowed. In fact, the only time in Canadian law you are allowed to defend yourself with force is with equal force. But under Canadian law, if someone broke into your house and you had to go get your gun, you would have to go get your keys to unlock your gun cabinet, take out your gun, then take another key, remove your trigger lock, go get another key, open up your ammunition lockbox, which has to be separate, put it all together, and by then you can scare the bad guy away. Feel safer now? Coming to a city near you. Getting back to the original clip, now that we've established that police are not going to help you, let's see what police actually do, and let's go back to New York City. This is a story that just came out, and you'll be surprised how common it is.
Shouldn't be trying to steal my house. Yes, you are.
How about that? A squatter standoff. A property owner confronts a group of people she says moved into her million-dollar home in Queens, and our cameras were rolling as dozens of officers showed up.
Several people were taken away in handcuffs, and one of those arrested may surprise you.
Investigative reporter Dan Krauth joins us now with more on what happened. Tell us, Dan.
Well, this is a very big growing problem. I received dozens of tips from viewers about this in just the past week. I went to do what I thought was going to be a routine interview. Instead, we capture what police and property owners are dealing with on a daily basis.
I have video of you.
To understand how this day ended.
We need the police right away.
With multiple 911 calls and arrests. We have to start at the beginning.
Adele, the hardest question is, how do you say your name?
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he loved it.
But she's been locked out. She claims squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave.
What's it like being here knowing you can't go inside of your own home?
It's enraging. It really is.
In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, we'll be well over the 30 days, and this man will have stolen my home. And now she's back.
Just after wrapping up our interview, a woman showed up.
What are you doing in the house? Are you renting this house? Why are you here?
She unlocked the front door, saw our cameras, and took off.
It's open. Let's go in the house. It's open.
Adele and her daughter, with the property deed in hand, went inside.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
There's a man sleeping right there. Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I've moved in about 2 days.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmiths. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open.
Police started interviewing neighbors and looking for documents.
Do you have something that shows that you've been here for more than 30 days?
They took the man who told me he had been renting for 2 days out in handcuffs.
They got one out.
And escorted the other guy off the property.
Now you're afraid to come out.
I'm not coming out. This house is empty. This is my home. My locksmith is on the corner waiting to change my locks. And that's not fair. It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, should be having to go through this.
How you doing?
Minutes later, a locksmith showed up. But police gave her a warning before they left.
I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
Less than 10 minutes after police left and the locks were changed. The man who claims to be the one actually leasing the house shows up.
Call the police again.
With the other guy, police took off the property.
Do you see this? This guy just literally broke down my door. Broke through myself and my daughter to get in here. This guy just forced himself into my house. Yes, he did. And so did you. Yeah. You broke through the front door.
Sir.
The man called the police on her.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
House. I don't own this.
Exactly. Yes. She does.
Yes. But then once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to the... As you got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
Well, who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show it, you don't want to show it.
Proof. Come here, brother. I like Dan.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill.
A bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't want the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
So Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
Being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction. She changed the locks on a man who claims he lives there.
So how does this all end then? When do you leave?
The way it ends is either she pays me my money that I put into the house, pay me the money and I'll leave, or send me to court and we deal with the judge in court. It's that simple.
It's not that simple. It's a long process. Evictions can take close to 2 years to complete.
So I guess Mr. Ben Carson, the former housing and urban development minister, was wrong. Squatters do have rights. Perhaps you better check your local ordinances. But what is most shocking to me about that is clearly the lady who owns the house and whoever the man claims was owed to work. It doesn't sound like it was her, because he would have, the invader would have said, you owe me money. And I'm sure she would have whipped out her wallet and got it done with. Probably cheaper than the locksmith. But what did the police do? Are police acting without conscience? Are they really brown shirts? God help us all. But the plot thickens, and there's a reason I started out with the commercial development first. Because I want you to have a vision, a big picture, a 30,000 foot preview of what is happening right before your eyes. In New York City, most of you are familiar because there's been wall-to-wall coverage on the mainstream media about what is happening with the Attorney General Letitia James and Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, former President of the United States, some would say, debatable. However, they put a bond against him. He was illegally convicted. There was no harm done to anyone. The people who lent him the money, and, you know, he was accused of inflating his assets. It's a complete mockery of justice, obviously. And the consequences are much greater than this. But now we are at a point where if he does not come up with, so the surety has to be 120% of the bond. And I believe it comes out to about $550 million to put up a bond just to go and appeal. So he has to, he's being crippled, if it works out the way they intend, just to have the ability to appeal. Now, he's going to take a couple different routes, and I don't want to get into the legalities as much in the case. But Letitia James wants to start confiscating his properties. Now, just imagine this. Remember all the empty workspaces in New York and around the world because of COVID? You know that you have a migrant housing crisis, and now you're being demonstrated the government can just accuse you of something. As ridiculous as it is, they're setting precedent, seize your property, and then how about this, while you are working through the courts, and even in just a standard landlord-tenant thing, it could take 2 years, as previously noted. The appeals court and Trump's case and going up to the Supreme Court, who knows how long it could take. But squatters can own the buildings in 30 days. Let's listen to Kevin O'Leary for just a few moments, because I think he kind of nailed it here.
This is case setting against the American brand, the most stable country on earth, anywhere. To put capital to work over a long period of time, particularly in real estate, is the United States of America. This is an assault on what we believe to be core. And I find it extraordinary. I think it's very troubling. It has absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump at this point, in my view. And it is completely bipartisan. This is an attack on America. Hmm. And I don't know how you can look at it any other way. And as an investor, and I know plenty of investors are completely disturbed by this, but.
So investors aren't going to come in. I'm just going to summarize his comments. They're not going to come in and invest in New York. The property values are all over the place now. You can't even do a proper evaluation with the crime that is going on in the city. The property values are falling. Citizens don't have rights. The policing is not there. You know that chaos was allowed. So what's really going on here? Well, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Gotham City. This is what they are trying to create. And just like Ben Carson said, it almost sounds purposeful. And do you think if your city goes really out of control and you lose all your property value and all of these migrants starting to get housed and crimes go up and everything, what would be the solution? Well, the solution has already been implemented. And just as this headline that I'm showing on the screen with the visual of the facial recognition software and cameras all over your 15-minute city, how China is taking the social credit score to reward or punish its citizens. And after you've lived in Gotham City long enough, you may just want this. Now, of course, I say that jokingly. Of course, you don't want that. If you're watching this program, you probably believe in personal freedom and have plans to travel and everything else. Hence, I'm going back to my, if you live in a city, you're a frog and the water's getting very warm right now. It's time that something has to break through. But I want to leave you with this, and I'm not even going to play you the clip because it doesn't need to be. But one of the things that's in the news right now that, of course, Americans and Canadians, we don't really pay much attention to, but it's Haiti. And Haiti has been a disaster for many, many years. And if you look at what's happened in there, they've had military rule and everything else. But now the headlines are, you know, the gangs have taken over the country of Haiti. And it's being run by a cannibal named Barbecue. It's funny as that kind of sounds, naming a cannibal Barbecue. Not funny. But how did it happen? How did it fall into chaos? Well, I just want to show you the headline. I'm not even going to play the clip. But from Tucker Carlson, just the other day, he interviewed the former prime minister of Haiti. And I'm just going to read you the headline. Joe Biden and Justin Trudeau have in effect been running domestic politics in Haiti for the past few years. The result is chaos and cannibalism. Pretty soon, a big portion of the Haitian population will be living in Florida. Haiti's former prime minister explains. So it's really not about them moving to Florida, in my view. It's Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden. And who's the unelected guy running London? And what about guys like Macron? What about Germany? Has there been a migrant crisis there? What about Sweden? What about all of these countries? Can it happen there? Tell me what you think in the comments. And don't forget to hit the like button. If you would. My name is Jeff. Thanks for being here and Right On Radio.
Right on, right on, right on. Right On Radio.
Right On Radio.